In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins, and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, once again, we come into your company to pray. And today we will do our prayer about prayer. And how consoling it is to talk with you, to listen to you, to come into your presence. We get so caught up in the world with our busyness, with our good activities, but we need this time too to stop, to come away to that lonely place where you invited the apostles. And for us, that lonely place is anywhere in the world, in a church, before a tabernacle, but in our house too. In our car, sometimes on the train or the bus, anywhere, you are there. And help us now to pray well, to make this time of prayer fruitful. We can open the Gospel of St. John to the 15th chapter, and you tell the apostles, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Lord, you've called me your friend, your friend. We all want friends, but you're the best friend anyone could have. You are God. You are not only our friend, you are our Redeemer, our Savior. Help us to grow in friendship with you by spending time with you in prayer. And St. Jose Maria, in his book, The Way, in the chapter on prayer, writes, "You seek the company of friends who, with their conversation and affection, with their friendship, make the exile of this world more bearable for you. There's nothing wrong with that, although friends sometimes let you down. But how is it you don't frequent daily, with greater intensity, the company, the conversation of the great friend who never lets you down?" And Lord, you are that great friend. You never let us down. You are always there for us. The more time we spend with you, talking with you, listening to you, the more we come to love you, the more we grow in that friendship, and the more fruitful we will be in your service. And in the lines just after the ones we read about calling us your friends, you went on to say, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." Lord, you've appointed me, all of us, all of your Christians, to go out and bear fruit, to bring you into this godless world, into this world which is in so much darkness, spiritual, moral darkness. You want us to be your light, but we will be a brighter light if we spend time with you praying, if we become your friend. And really, you said that if we go back just a few lines in that same 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Lord, we want to bear fruit. We want to help souls to find you, to love you, and to be with you forever in heaven. They need someone to help them. That someone has to be each one of us. But for that, we need to be very prayerful souls. And Lord, we can accompany you too in your prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane on that night before your death on the cross. We open the Gospel of St. Matthew to the 26th chapter. Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. "Lord, you have taken Peter, James, and John, those chosen three out of the 12, to be closer to you. You were sorrowful and troubled. And you said, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.'" Sorrowful even to death, your agony in the garden, we call it, that agony where you were sweating blood. And Lord, if you look at your church today, if you look at the state of the world, you would probably be saying the same thing. "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death, looking at mankind, looking at these people that I have redeemed by my death on the cross, and they don't know me, and they don't love me, and they live so distant from me, and often living in grave sin." Lord, that's what you could say today, and you invite us to accompany you, to pray with you, to be close to you, as you wanted those three to be close to you in that prayer in the garden. You were human after all, divine, the Son of God, but human. You wanted that company. And today too, when we pray, we are keeping you company. You look with agony on our world. Help us to stay close to you so that we can be other Christ and bring some light into this world. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And Lord, you're begging to be spared that chalice of suffering. Some time before, you had asked two of these disciples, James and John, those brothers, "Can you drink of the chalice that I am about to drink?" And they answered, "We can," undoubtedly without understanding to which chalice you were referring. You were referring to the chalice of suffering, of death, and now even you are begging the Father to be spared that chalice. But you add, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And Lord, you are teaching us to pray, to beg the Father for all of our needs, but always to add, at least implicitly, if not in words, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Lord, whatever you want, we accept your will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? You found them sleeping. Lord, perhaps you find me sleeping at times too. And not just physical sleep where we are so tired we fall asleep, because that can happen. You know our weakness. But what you don't like is that spiritual drowsiness, that lukewarmness, where we're not on fire, where we're not alive, where we are not awake. Help me not to be spiritually asleep." And you add, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And Lord, we could pray 1 hour each day with you. Many people do. If we look just at the Mass, which is a form of prayer, a half hour. If we said the Rosary, another 15 minutes at least. If we did some spiritual reading and reading of the Scriptures, another 15 minutes, and already we are at an hour. Help us to find the time to spend that hour with you." And now you tell us why we need to pray, giving us another reason. "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." that we may not enter into temptation. We have so many temptations. Every day, some, or perhaps many, and sometimes we fall. If we were stronger, if we spent more time praying with you, if we loved you more, we would be more inclined not to offend you by giving in to those temptations. We would be stronger in resisting them. One added reason why we should want to pray, that we may not fall in those temptations. And you add, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And doesn't that describe us? The spirit is willing. We want to do the right thing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, help us to stay close to you, to find that time for prayer each day, so that we will be stronger in resisting those temptations. To have that conversation with you. The Kyrie of Ours comments, the good God looks neither at long nor at beautiful prayers, but at those that come from the heart. There is nothing easier than to pray to the good God, and nothing is more comforting. Prayer of the heart, to come into your presence, even to say, Lord, I don't know what to say. You're not looking for beautiful prayers, but those that come from the heart. And one day we might be saying that, I don't know how to pray. I don't feel like being here, but I want to be here. I want to grow in love for you. Nothing is more comforting, as the Kyrie says. And he says, prayer is the conversation of a child with its father, of a subject with his king, of a servant with his lord, of a friend with the friend to whom he confides all his troubles and difficulties. And Lord, that may be the subject of our prayer very often. Lord, I have so many troubles, so many difficulties. I need you. How do I solve these problems? Show me the way. Give me the light. Send out your light and your truth. When we have troubles and difficulties, there's nothing more consoling than to bring them to you, because we don't know how to solve them, but you do. Help us to come to you in those moments. We need to pray, as we have said, to draw closer to you, our friend, to be a light that shines more brightly, to resist those many temptations that we have, to wake up from that spiritual sleep. You need us to be on fire. You need us to be a light, and we want to be that light. We want to grow in love, because a soul in love is happy. And the closer we are to you, the happier we will be. The saints are the happiest people on earth. And that prayer can take those various forms. This prayer that we are doing now, this mental prayer or meditation, where we are talking with you in our own words. And St. Teresa of Avila describes mental prayer like this. Mental prayer is nothing else than an intimate friendship, a frequent heart-to-heart conversation with him by whom we know ourselves to be loved. Just a simple heart-to-heart conversation, not worrying about the eloquence of our words. And Lord, you said that to us too when you said in the Sermon on the Mount, in praying, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That we simply pray from the heart, not trying to be eloquent by our choice of words. We just say, Lord, here I am. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. And St. Jose Maria says that too in The Way, in the chapter on prayer. You say that you don't know how to pray. Put yourself in the presence of God. And once you have said, Lord, I don't know how to pray, rest assured that you have begun to do so. because we're talking with you. Lord, I don't know how to pray. That is prayer. Talking with you is prayer and listening to you. And we pray about our life, about these daily activities, our problems, our worries, our joys. And the next point in the way, point number 91 says, you write, to pray is to talk with God. But about what? About what? About Him. About yourself. Joys, sorrows, successes and failures, noble ambitions, daily worries, weaknesses, and acts of thanksgiving, and petitions, and love, and reparation. In a word, to get to know Him, and to get to know yourself, to get acquainted. We start with the book of life, our daily life, our joys, our sorrows. Let us pray about them. Our successes, our failures, our worries, weaknesses, and yes, many acts of thanksgiving for all your blessings, and petitions. Lord, please help me with this or that, and love. Lord, I love you, but teach me to love, and reparation. Lord, I'm sorry. I would like to be your good son or daughter, but I failed so often. I'm sorry. We're just talking with you about our daily life, and this is prayer. This is mental prayer, which we are now doing. But then all those vocal prayers too, and let us say them. From the morning offering when we get out of bed, the Angelus at noon, the rosary. Let us say the rosary every day if we can, because there we are meditating on your life as seen through the eyes of your mother. The Divine Mercy Chaplet, prayers like the Memorare, the Act of Contrition, the Hail Holy Queen, and all of our favorite prayers. There are books and books filled with those vocal prayers. Help us to say some each day. And then that other form of prayer which the Catechism calls contemplative prayer, which is prayer of the heart, not expressed so much in words as in simply a gaze of love of the heart, looking at the tabernacle, looking at the crucifix, looking at an image of Our Lady or Saint Joseph, a gaze of love, a more quiet form of prayer. And that too is so pleasing to you. And of that, Saint Jose Maria says in the way, your mind is sluggish and won't work. You try to collect your thoughts in God's presence, but it's useless. There's a complete blank. Don't try to force yourself, and don't worry. Look, such moments are for your heart. We're too tired. We're too distracted. We just look at you, prayer of the heart. That prayer that man in ours said he was praying when the curate asked him how he prayed. And he said, I just look at the good God, and the good God looks at me. He's describing contemplative prayer. And then, of course, that other form of prayer, aspirations. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I'm sorry. Help me. All those aspirations that we say throughout the day. And that presence of God expressed in those brief aspirations. Lord, help us to be very, very prayerful, more united with you, more in love, then our light will shine more brightly. We will help others to find you. And St. Jose Maria says of that in a letter in 1945, bear in mind that if we Christians are not more efficacious, it is because few pray. And those of us who do pray, pray little. We will be more efficacious if we pray more. And Lord, help me, each one of us, to pray more. And what qualities should our prayer have? Let us just consider three. First, regularity, regular times for prayer. We can't leave it to when we feel like it. Regular times, and we need them. Just as we have regular times for eating, for recreation, for sleep, we want regular times to come into your presence and talk with you and listen to you. And Saint Jerome writes, "The apostle tells us to pray always. For holy people, even sleep is a prayer. However, we should have certain times of prayer spread out over the day, so that even if we are involved in some task, the timetable we have given ourselves will remind us that duty calls, that duty of love. And Lord, to determine not only when we will pray, but for how long we will pray. And with our mental prayer especially, to decide before we even start, I want to pray for 15 minutes, for example. It might be a half hour, it might be an hour. But to decide for how long we are going to pray, and then to hold ourselves to that length of time. And again, Saint Jose Maria, when you go to pray, let this be a firm resolution. Don't prolong your prayer because you find consolation in it, or shorten it because you find it dry. We might ask, why not prolong it when it is going so well? Because then we are making our prayer subject to our whims, to our feelings. We will prolong it one day because we find it consoling, and we will shorten it another day because we find it dry, and soon we will not be praying at all. Regular times, feeling like it or not. And again, Saint Jose Maria, don't tell Jesus that you want consolation in prayer. If he gives it to you, thank him. Tell him always that you want perseverance. We will have consolation sometimes, perhaps few. We will be there loving you with that act of the will most of the time. We don't look for consolations. We thank you if you give them to us, but what we want is perseverance. And the following point, point 101, persevere in prayer. Persevere, even when your efforts seem barren. Prayer is always fruitful. And in our mental prayer, in order to keep it going, we take a book. The scriptures, that spiritual reading book that we are reading, whatever we find helpful, but a book always assists us in doing our mental prayer, in being faithful to it. And Saint Teresa of Avila, that great mystic, whom people often imagine was always in ecstasy in her prayer, writes in the story of her life, "It would have been impossible, I think, for me to persevere during the 18 years for which I had to bear this trial and these great aridities due to my being unable to meditate. During all these years, except after receiving communion, I never dared to begin to pray without a book. My soul was as much afraid to engage in prayer without one as if it were having to go and fight a host of enemies. With his help, which was a companionship to me and a shield with which I could parry the blows of my many thoughts, I felt comforted." Even Saint Teresa of Avila took a book. And she speaks about 18 years of spiritual dryness. Lord, help us not to be ashamed to take a book, to read it. Read a few lines, a few paragraphs, then stop and pray with them. And to stop and pray, especially when we are busy, then we need it all the more to stop, to come back into your presence, to become more spiritual, more supernatural. because we get so human, and then we get so worried and so anxious and maybe so angry with those around us. We need those times of spiritual oasis, of coming away to that quiet place. Then we regain that supernatural outlook. We gain that peace, that serenity that we so much need. And then secondly, to pray with attention, thinking of the one to whom we are speaking and to whom we are listening, not allowing the distractions to overwhelm us. We will have distractions, but Lord, help us to try to pray, to think of you. And it can be helpful, for example, to imagine you sitting in front of us. We can be Martha or Mary or Lazarus. There's a knock on the door. It is you. You come in. You ask for a drink of water, perhaps. You sit there and we talk with you. And you might simply be asking us, how is your day? And we tell you, but we see you there. That can be a big help in praying, knowing that you are there listening to us. And then always to remember that prayer is going to be difficult. Prayer is a battle. The Catechism says it. Let us read these words from paragraph 2725. Prayer is both a gift of grace and a determined response on our part. It always presupposes effort. The great figures of prayer of the Old Covenant before Christ, as well as the Mother of God, the saints, and He Himself, all teach us this. Prayer is a battle. Against whom? Against ourselves, and against the wiles of the tempter, who does all he can to turn man away from prayer, away from union with God. Spiritual battle, the battle of prayer, yes. We will not find it easy. Some days, perhaps, yes. Other days, because we are distracted, because we're tired, because we have had a difficult day at work or with the family and the children, it won't be easy, but we persevere at it and engage in that battle, not letting the devil be the one who wins, who leads us away from prayer. And St. Thomas More, in his book The Sadness of Christ, describes our distractions in quite a humorous way. I wish that sometime we would make a special effort, right after finishing our prayers, to run over in our minds the whole sequence of time we spent praying. What follies will we say there? How much absurdity, and sometimes even foulness, will we catch sight of? Indeed, we will be amazed that it was at all possible for our minds to dissipate themselves in such a short time among so many places, at such great distance from each other, among so many different affairs, such various, such manifold, such idle pursuits. For if someone, just as an experiment, should make a determined effort to make his mind touch upon as many and as diverse objects as possible, I hardly think that in such a short time he could run through such disparate and numerous topics as the mind, left to its own devices, ranges through while the mouth negligently mumbles through the hours of the office and other much-used prayers. Isn't that true? If we tried to be distracted and get our mind to run through all of those different ideas, we couldn't make it do it as much as it does on its own. So yes, we will be distracted. Everyone is distracted. But Lord, we don't give in to them. We fight against them. We say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to pray, to talk with you, to listen to you. And then the final quality of our prayer, that we persevere at it, day in and day out, week after week, month after month, the rest of our life. We want to be prayerful souls, souls of prayer, souls who are growing in friendship, in love with you, until the day we die, always living in your presence, talking with you, And we don't know when you're going to call us. It could be today, tomorrow, or in many years. But if we live in your presence, if we are prayerful souls, souls madly in love, then we will be very prepared when you call us. You will be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant, because you have been faithful in the little, I will set you over the much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And that is what we want to hear. And if we are living in your presence, if we are prayerful souls, we can look forward to those words. And we ask Our Lady, teacher of prayer, always in the presence of God, help me to be a truly prayerful soul. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.